Welcome to Lauro Rosati's podcast, Verification Perspectives. Lauro's guest today is Dave Kelf, Marketing Vice President of OneSpin, a leader in formal analysis. Dave has a long-standing experience on analysis tools in the electronic design automation space. He first drove the HDL simulation in general, followed by compiled code simulation, system Verilog, advanced debug, and now formal. Let's hear from Lauro and Dave on the state of electronic design verification and analysis.
Hi, this is Lauro Rosati, and we have Dave Kelf here today. Welcome, Dave.
Hi, Lauro. Good to talk to you.
Hi. You have a long history in electronic design analysis tools. Tell us what drove those innovations at a more detailed level than the usual reasons people give.
Yeah, it's a great question. So, you know, most people think Moore's law is the key driver behind verification. And clearly that's true. I mean, the increase in the growth of the device sizes has really led to a lot of the innovation we've seen in verification, advanced simulation, emulation, and so on, that you know well, Laura, of course.
Right.
But I think there's a lot more to it, of course. You know, if you look at what's happened in the last 30 years or so, you have a parallel force of technology improvements where people have been thinking about test bench automation, formal verification, and these kinds of things. And then another force of the engineering requirement, the verification requirements. And it's when those two converge at different points that we see a significant innovation arrive. And formal verification is a good example of that, right? Formal's been around for many years, but all of a sudden we've seen some requirements occur in the business which have led formal to really take off for some specific designs. And I think the same is true of emulation, test bench automation, and so on. So now, you know, we're sort of seeing some of these complex verification issues being driven by these design requirements, all being targeted with different kinds of verification technology.
Okay, interesting. And definitely I agree with you.
Yeah.
How is design verification evolving today? What are the drivers and the trends going on there?
So today, I think the big thing that we see is that the old simulation platform, focused verification, has transformed, of course, into kind of a three-legged stool of simulation, emulation, and formal.
Right.
And yeah, and again, I know you see this a lot in your area, Laura, but what's interesting about that, I think, is that that in turn has led to some significant integration issues and use model issues, which are driving other innovations. So for example, engineers are looking at techniques such as portable stimulus, where in the past they generate a test bench for the simulation. Now they can't transport that test bench to an emulator or use it in formal verification. So they're saying, can we raise the abstraction in this portable stimulus idea to see if they can drive one set of tests to different models? Same is true of coverage. So we now have a need for universal coverage, where you take coverage models, which are different between these different techniques, particularly formal and simulation, and come up with a combined model so you can understand just how much verification is being done across all the different platforms. Whereas in the past, you didn't have to worry about that when it was just simulation. And the other thing I think that's interesting is there's a lot more emphasis now on verification planning, where you're taking verification tests and trying to figure out what is the best technology to apply to those tests. Are they sort of in-depth control type problems, which might be targeted to formal? Is it sort of lengthy data processing, which emulation might be used for, and so on? And of course, different phases in the flow make a difference for that as well. The other thing I would say is that, you know, Moore's law is clearly slowing, as we know, mainly for business reasons as well as technology. So the kind of requirements that are being fed into the verification process are moving from performance-driven to kind of requirements-driven. And of course, you know, this latest trend in safety-critical design is a perfect example of that, where the requirements of a safety-critical device are very different to some of the ones we've seen in the past in verification. So new techniques have to be created to allow for that. Same was true of multiprocessor design, low-power designs, and so on. So I think that's it's those two things that we're seeing today.
Thanks. You mentioned formal and emulation as a two legs of the three-legged stool.
Yes, indeed.
And you're talking about integration, common platform, et cetera. Do you envision the possibility to really integrate formal and emulation? And what are the obstacles to achieve the goal?
Yeah, that's so a question you get asked quite a lot, and it's very interesting. In fact, some people would say, you know, do we see simulation actually being squeezed out of the mix and formal sort of being used in the front end to get the designs ready, which are then just passed straight into an emulator? I still think there's always going to be a place for formal, but I think an integration between formal and emulation has a lot of possible benefits. And so I definitely think that can happen. I think initially, we wouldn't necessarily look for an actual integration of the two technologies, but more of a design flow integration. So formal used up front to prepare a design for emulation and maybe weed out some of the issues and problems that slow the emulation process down. So you can do a lot of work like that with formal engines, finding problems in the design and tracking things down that otherwise can be an issue. Also, another very interesting possibility is the idea of a design running in emulation, getting to a certain critical point in the process where maybe some problem has been found that's very sort of deep in terms of the design layers and also the kind of scenario that has created that problem. So taking that state out of the emulator and automatically loading it into the formal tool, where you can then explore the entire state space of a design in one go to explore that particular problem. And I think that is a very interesting idea, this idea of running the emulator to certain points, exploring the problem with formal, and then continuing the emulation along. So I think we'll definitely see that. And then, of course, as we said, you know, just the obvious, ensuring that a verification plan can be turned into one set of tests that can be applied to formal and emulation together. Integrating the coverage is an absolute must. So making sure that the coverage model come from the emulator matches formal and so on. But I do see it being used, though, somewhat in different parts of the process. So formal, more upfront, emulator later in the process.
This is very interesting what you say, Dave. I heard already for a long time about switching between emulation and simulation. So in emulation, you quickly achieve a point of suspicion where you think that there is an issue, and then you switch into simulation to debug the bug.
Right.
I never heard before doing the same with formal.
You know, I think formal, obviously, it lends itself to this particular problem. I mean, one of the use models of formal that's made it so popular is bug hunting, where in simulation, it can be sometimes really hard to recreate a specific scenario where a bug might occur. But you can write a set of assertions and constraints and very quickly set a scenario up. Mm-hmm. So if the emulator can essentially get to a place where you've got a scenario you found is tricky in the emulation, because, of course, in the emulator, you're running, you know, very large amounts of real data, as you know.
Right.
Then if you can take that and pass that to formal and rapidly explore the entire space, it's much more effective than simulation, where simulation essentially is operating like emulation, but you've just got maybe some more debug facilities. In formal, you've got the same debug facilities, but you can explore a huge array of state spaces and really get to a problem much more quickly. So I think it's a great possibility.
I agree. Let's talk about the industry. What role did mobile play in the recent past, and what about automotive today or tomorrow?
So that's a great question, Laura. And I think, you know, we need to look to understand how verification is evolving. You know, look at the kinds of requirements coming out of different design types, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, with mobile, you know, we saw the advent, I believe, of the true system on chip, where you got these very large devices, multiprocessors, and you know, and other capabilities which are switched on and off all the time, coupled with low power type requirements. So looking at power domain switching and that kind of thing. And that led to a whole range of verification issues over and above just looking at raw performance requirements. So you had to really make sure that power domains switch correctly. In the multiprocessor, you had to make sure that you had cache coherency and all these kinds of things, which led to specialized tools and other capabilities being fed onto the main verification technologies.
Hmm.
And of course, the big one with system on chip is hardware software design and the need to apply vast amounts of real data against those devices, which of course, I think really led to the big rise in emulation.
Right.
So we saw emulators coming out of that space, and now we're into safety critical and automotive design. So the requirement here in automotive is even more interesting, I think. In the automotive segment, what we're seeing is an advent of safety critical devices. And these are devices which both have to be verified very, very thoroughly to make sure there's absolutely no problems left in them, but also have to be able to recover from faults that are caused during the operation of the device. For example, the ISO 26262 standard has two major requirements: systematic verification, which is like verification on steroids, but much more advanced verification planning and making sure that the verification coverage matches that plan very thoroughly. So it's both making sure the verification is thorough and making sure the plan itself is much more rigorous and fully tested. So you have systematic, and then you also have random errors. And in these devices, hardware safety mechanisms are included, which trap random errors and make sure the device continues to work. So these might include error correction codes around memory, redundancy in the system. So you have three components doing the same thing, and if one goes wrong, the other two can continue, this kind of thing. And so to verify that, and the standard demands that the verification happens on the actual final circuit without any modification, you need to inject faults and then watch how the faults are handled by those error correction mechanisms and make sure that the device will operate. And if you look at the ASIL-D requirement, which is the highest level of safety integrity, you have to make sure you have 99% of the possible diagnostic faults covered in that design, which is an enormous number.
Yeah.
So this is driving a whole level of fault injection and fault analysis technology. And Formal, of course, is a perfect technology for that, both because it's so rigorous in the way that it handles these devices, but also because it's relatively easy to inject faults and then analyze the path that faults takes through the design and to make sure that under all circumstances, the fault will be handled correctly. So we see companies using Formal for this, and I think this is going to be a big driver for Formal over the next few years, as well as techniques such as fault simulation from the 90s and many years ago and so on. So I think that these are the kind of differences we're seeing, both with mobile and then with automotive. And it's this kind of thing that's driving verification evolution today and the new techniques, not so much raw performance.
Oh, thank you. Great. Just to conclude, let's take the crystal ball and look into the future, maybe 10 years from now. How will it look? Verification will look based on where the semiconductor technology is evolving and going.
Yeah, so it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I think if we look at the semiconductor business, we can see possibly the requirement for the Moore's law doubling of chips every 18 months, chip sizes are reducing, right? It's just not possible to make those kinds of devices in a cost-effective fashion. And so therefore, we're going to be looking at using design tricks to continue with a performance curve that basically doesn't rely on the semiconductor improvements. So those kind of tricks will then in turn lead to, more advanced circuitry and more advanced verification requirements. So I think, we're going to see the advent, and I think we already are, in fact, of machine learning and almost artificial intelligence being built into the tools, which will help the tools configure themselves to match certain design problems. Maybe test benches that can react more effectively to find sort of design scenarios that need to be tested. I think we're going to see greater abstraction, of course. That's always the case. But with tests, the holy grail, if you like, of the test bench is the fully executable spec, which is actually written in some kind of understandable language, mm-hmm. as opposed to complex assertions, right? So I think we'll see the executable spec come true and test benches being driven from that. And actually, I think that's where the portable stimulus standard will be going.
Yeah.
Right? So that's very exciting. If that happens, then you can imagine all these different tools sort of being integrated together and become like one super verification engine, maybe operating on a computer and on an emulator, I'm not sure. But simulation and Formal, the two techniques being brought together into one single, super verification device, if you like. Mm-hmm. I think coverage, the question of have I done enough simulation will be eliminated. I think we'll know once we have the executable spec, we'll know with the coverage techniques that will be out there that yes, the design has been fully tested and we can fully predict that. And then finally, there's always the question of design languages and will we see the next generation of system Verilog? And my sense is that we could move towards more C and C++ being used, primarily because of hardware-software requirements and the fact that a lot of engineers are learning C and C++. So certainly in the FPGA world, we're starting to see that more and more. And I think that could now start to happen in ASICs as well. So for 10 years, I think it's those kinds of effects, that we're going to see.
Great, great. Very interesting, very enlightening. Okay, Dave, it was a pleasure talking to you today. And we will see each other pretty soon.
No doubt. Thank you very much, Lars. Great to talk to you.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast of Lauro Rosati's Verification Perspectives. Join us next time for another interesting and in-depth conversation. For more episodes, please visit www.rizzatti.com. That's R-I-Z-Z-A-T-T-I.com.